are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Hello, welcome, God Geeks Podcast. We're back
again. You know you love that familiar tune.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff. We're your resident geeks. I'm James Cleland.
I'm your co-host and co-geek, Bill Brimer.
We did something cool this week. We got together and watched the pilot episode of Preacher, which got us thinking about some theology topics and just geeky stuff in general. We just finished watching it, and in This Week in Geek, we are going to give you all the details of the show, the plot, etc. But more importantly, in Jedi Mind Tricks, we're going to talk about blasphemy, unforgivable sins, if that's a thing, and what makes you fit to be a preacher. So some good topics. It gets a little deep at times, but that's okay.
Yeah. And deep then, in a good way. Not deep in the way like you need to be wearing boots or anything.
No. And then, of course, don't forget, you need to review us on iTunes. 4 or 5 star review, hopefully 5. I think we popped
Do they have 6 stars? Can we get 6 stars?
We'll petition Apple for
it. All right.
And if we get 20 people to review us, we're going to pick someone out of the hat, and they get to be our first guest on the show. So be sure to do that. And then, of course, thanks for listening. Send us a message on our website, godgeeks.com. And then, hey, just keep listening. Tell your friends. We actually popped into the top 150 spiritual, religious podcasts.
Shooting up the charts. Yeah. That's that Christ Hold Fast bump that we're
getting. Yeah, that's what it is. So, all right. Well, let's do it. Jedi Mind Tricks.
Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
Is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Jedi Mind Tricks, the time of the show where we get into deep theological stuff. We geek out about God stuff. We geek out a bit about theology. And this is a unique episode of the God Geeks podcast, because as we mentioned in the intro, we, James and I, have just come off of viewing of the premiere for Preacher on AMC, and we're going to get into, you know, did we enjoy it, what was it like, and all that in This Week in Geek. We're going to kind of do more of our review of the episode then, and in Jedi Mind Tricks, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the theological things that it kind of stirred up in
quite
us
a few of them.
To discuss, because there's big theological stuff sort of, well, there's theological stuff in everything,
right?
But there's theological stuff in this show, because the premise of the show. I'll get into the graphic novel and my understanding of the graphic novel in This Week in Geek. So if you're not into the Preacher premiere and all that stuff,
Still listen to this first part.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of theology stuff. Yeah. Worlds are going to collide a little bit on this episode because of the content. But this theological part, Jedi Mind Tricks, I think you'll still be able to glean a lot of theological stuff from it. So James, there in the show, there were things that prompted us to say, hey, these would be good theological issues or things to talk about.
Right.
So what were some of those things that for you, regardless of the show, are big things theologically to sort of talk about and ask questions and wrestle with?
These are things that I've always kind of wondered about and have looked for answers on. And I think I've circled around some, and maybe we'll get a better finger on the pulse today. But this show, and I think purposely by the creators of the show, is asking questions about what is blasphemy, what are unforgivable sins, if any, and then what makes someone unfit to be a preacher, a pastor, leader in the church? Because we definitely have a guy in this yeah, in the show.
Definitely in the show, these questions
come up.
Appears
to be unfit. What do you even say he is?
Yeah. And so outside the show...
those are questions that we can ask.
What would be something... Like, there's something like... Well, I'll just tell sort of a personal story about this idea. I'm not saying this is unforgivable.
Right.
But I'm saying a lot of people view suicide...
Right, that's another topic that came up in the show.
Or attempted suicide as something that God just can't forgive, that somehow, you know... It's the last thing that you do is actually take your own life. And so it's like
that, you're in a state of sin that can't
right,
be.
Right. Well, it's like, you know,
I don't buy it,
if there's an accounting going on of plus and minus sheet, the last thing you do
it
is
knocks
the
your scale out
worst
of whack.
Thing, you know, yeah. you can possibly do is play God and take your own life and all these, you know, and you can see how based mm-hmm. on some false premises that someone would come to that conclusion.
Right.
I actually have, when I was growing up, I had an uncle who lived in Alabama, and his name was Uncle Tuck. And so he was my grandpa's brother.
Okay.
He lived in Alabama. And I always knew growing up that I had this uncle and that he was blind. And he was, you know, he's a blind man, but I didn't actually know why. And then we went to Alabama for a trip. And they told me beforehand that he'd had an accident mm-hmm. While he was cleaning a gun.
Okay.
And accidentally shot himself in the face. And that's why he was blind.
Okay.
And obviously when
a little older.
I got a little older, yeah. I realized. And I met Uncle Tuck, and he was a sweet man. He lived in this, and it's sad for me to think about it, because he lived in this one-room little house. Because of course he was blind, but he was fully, you know, self-sufficient. He could move around this one little house. He knew where everything was, mm-hmm. and he could cook and he could do his own thing in this one room kind of house. And his face was just obviously, like, his bottom jaw was almost completely gone. I don't know the full story of it, but I know, thinking back on it, that he must have tried to take his own life with a shotgun, and it deformed his entire face
right.
and blinded him.
Right.
And he survived. So growing up with that very personal, real story, I remember he typed my name out in Braille on his typewriter and everything and gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
And that was always special to
That's
me.
Kinda cool.
And it was one of those things where, I wondered about this whole thing, the people get in, incredibly depressed states and people struggle with big, huge life issues and they feel like there is no hope for them, and they either attempt to take their own life or they actually do take their own life. And
right.
people of faith do this.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that they don't have faith. So that's a tough question.
It is.
For me to ask you. So what happens? Like what, you know, explain to me how that can be forgiven if you.
Yeah. So that's a very personal one for me too. That's how my uncle died.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And started digging into that question when that happened.
What is it with uncles?
Why, I know,
why
right?
are uncles,
it's,
you know,
it's the
you know?
Uncles. And I truly believe that if it was a matter of accounting the state that I'm in when I die, I'm in trouble.
Right.
I'm in trouble. But that's not the case.
Right.
That's not the case.
Right.
You know, Christ died for our sins right now, our previous sins, our future sins, and that is a state that we're in, a sinful state, but also a state with imputed righteousness and vicarious satisfaction that doesn't go away when I make probably the stupidest decision you could make.
Yeah.
Very
self.
It's a very
turned
self,
in on yourself.
Yeah, not stupid and, you know, oh, you're dumb. No, it's a very self. It's like the most selfish act you could do.
Sure.
But isn't that the type of thing Christ died
yeah,
for?
Right.
I mean, it's the ultimate thing Christ died for, I think.
Right, yeah.
Now, it would be sad to think someone would commit that sin without having heard the gospel or without... you know, having faith,
right? The hope and the peace and the comfort that the gospel gives,
yeah.
you would hope that upon hearing that, someone would turn away
would
from
turn,
something
exactly.
like that.
But,
because the only thing that can cause us to turn away from sin mm-hmm. is not the law.
No.
Not, don't do that.
No.
But your sins are forgiven.
Right.
And Christ died for you.
Right.
And he rose for you. And you have hope and peace. And your life is now hidden with him.
Right.
In God. And you will be raised from the dead and have an eternal life in his name. Those that the comfort and the peace of that is what actually causes us to turn from sin. Not,
right.
not the idea that you can't do that or
right.
don't do that.
Right.
That actually makes things on its own, Could if someone was in a terrible place in a depressed state and going through a horrible thing and you came at them with a bunch of commands
right.
about
including how, don't
yeah you do that and don't do this and don't that and get your act together, that never with absent of the gospel, it never delivers what it demands.
Right.
The gospel is what causes fruit, if you
right.
will, the fruit of the Spirit to flow from people. And two, I think our friend Mark Schaefer, a pastor at Water's Edge, said one time when this subject came up, the idea that if you're sinning at the time of your death, that some, you know, like suicide,
right.
You know, that how is that any different than you ran a stop sign, broke
and
the law, cussed out loud, and hit a tree, and
right.
and
right.
you know you're sinning this whole time, right?
Yeah.
So you're in a state of grace in Christ. You,
right.
All of your sins are covered,
right?
And so it's not an accounting principle, right?
Yeah.
My apologies to Mark Schaefer if I quoted him out of context there. He was probably teaching something completely different, but in actuality, the point being, your actions, your sinful actions, no matter how bad they are, is anything unforgivable?
So that brings us to the second
yeah,
kind of topic.
Yeah. Is there
an unforgivable sin?
Is there anything that you can do that is unforgivable?
The only thing I can think of, and I've kind of circled around this, the only thing I can think of is saying, and maybe this isn't even right, saying I don't want forgiveness, or just completely saying forgiveness is impossible. I don't know, something along the lines of denying the forgiveness that's given.
There's
denying the Holy Spirit.
Okay, you're getting there. You're
okay.
getting really, really warm.
Yeah. How about you hit us?
Well, so I would say it's the easiest thing ever. The
yeah.
the unforgivable sin is disbelief.
Right. Right.
So you're what you're saying is in disbelief and you're rejecting the truth of who God is, and
right.
you're saying I stand on my own.
Right.
See. So faith itself is a gift, and rejecting that gift is not like you're doing something along the lines of all these other sins and that particular
right.
sin.
Exactly.
It's saying it's saying what you want. I don't want your forgiveness. I
right.
don't want
damn me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, yeah. Or and which damn me, which is along the lines of blasphemy, which is damn you.
Right.
Like,
okay.
like, damn you, I don't want you.
Okay.
You know, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus describes as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, saying, I reject your holiness, your comfort, I reject my need of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you. I don't
mm-hmm.
want you. You know, it's disbelief. So rejection of Christ as your Savior leaves you in, and notice I say leaves you in because you're already there.
Yeah,
your own sin.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
anyone who denies Him as Lord and Savior, as God,
right,
right? As the God Man, right? The Word become flesh. As anyone who denies Christ is denying, is on their own.
So what you're saying is the only way to deny Christ is to deny Christ.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as far as unforgivable sins, and that's why you say, you know, we were talking about, to go back to, not to hammer home suicide,
right,
but people of faith do that because they get caught up in such despair.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they don't believe, right? Or, you know, and because you have questions and you have doubts and you're wrestling with big dark things. The idea that what's beautiful in the gospel of Christ is even a mustard seed of faith, right? Which mm-hmm. is a gift, something mm-hmm. you can't even do on your own. Something's been given to you, is the full righteousness of Christ given to you. See?
Okay.
So we need the gospel. We need the law, preached to us both. And we need the Lord's Supper, and we need that baptism, and we need these, acts of God to both give us faith, and to strengthen our faith, right? And encourage us and to bring us the comfort of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and the absolution for the forgiveness of our sins. And that gospel good news not only creates that faith, but it creates the fruit, the good works. So the gospel is the light in our darkness, and we have no ability to shine the light on our own. We need to hear and receive the gospel so that light shines forth from us, right?
So that kind of brings us to like the last topic we were kind of circling around, which is, well, what would make a preacher unfit to preach? What would make someone unfit to be a preacher?
Right.
So would it be a lack of fruits, a lack of...
Well, and so here's...
Which would lead to one thinking there's a lack of...
Well, say that again, because I like what you said there.
Okay.
And I want you to expand on it.
So if... Is someone who's unfit to preach someone who does, who just the light is not shining out of them? If there's no light shining out of them, then the light is lacking or something along those lines?
Right.
I'm not sure.
So I think maybe it'd be important to make a distinction between someone who can preach.
Right.
And then someone who actually holds... as an office holder of ministry,
gotcha.
Right?
All right. That's,
because Paul, you know, in Timothy and other places in the New Testament, it's...
Because we're all called to preach the gospel.
Right.
So we should all be
preaching,
preachers.
Yeah. So let's talk for a second about what it means to preach. So when I say preach, what I mean is proclaim.
Proclaim.
Proclaiming
the good news.
The word of God, the proclaiming the gospel.
Okay.
And by proclaim, by preach, what you're actually saying is delivering the gifts of Christ by the word of God, right? So,
and that's different than holding an office.
Yeah, well, a pastor doesn't simply preach, right?
No, not at all.
A pastor administers sacraments, a pastor hears confession, a pastor does corporate absolution, a pastor preaches a sermon, a pastor does the liturgy, a pastor serves in care situations,
okay.
A pastor marries, a pastor buries, a pastor, you know, does the office of the Holy Spirit. Ministry is much more of an involved office than simply preaching the word of God.
So we've got
proclaiming
two questions
the good
then.
News. So yeah.
Yeah.
So
who should proclaim the word of God? Everybody.
Right. Well, anyone.
anyone
born of the Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
Is capable because the Spirit is alive in them.
Right.
But of preaching and proclaiming the gospel to anyone in any circumstance that God may cause it to be preached.
Okay.
Right. So, but
that's a separate question.
Well,
from...
and so the distinction being preaching, proclaiming from just simply teaching or explaining. See, teaching and explaining would be like, and we need that too, by the way.
Right.
We need to learn the word of God. We need to learn the scriptures, right? We need to have them explained to us, you know, technical type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But saying here is the story of Jesus and what he and who he is and what he does, and then that being teaching and explaining, and then preaching would be he's yours.
Yeah.
See,
I had professors in college that taught me the Old Testament.
Right.
But did not believe it. Did not believe in Christ.
Right.
Did not.
Right.
So they were teaching scripture.
Yeah. So.
But they weren't proclaiming truth.
So yeah. So technically, when someone is preaching or proclaiming, they're actually putting the gifts on you. They're giving you the benefits of the story. They're saying, not this is not just a story that I can explain to you.
Right.
This story is now yours.
Right.
The mouth of God uses the mouth of the preacher, the proclaimer, whoever that may be, mm-hmm. office holder or not, to deliver the story or deliver the person to the story, see, to put them in the story. This is now your story. This story of Jesus that is true in history is now on you, see? So preaching is different than just teaching. And unfortunately...
We the world's got those mixed up because the show Preacher... Does the preacher ever preach?
No.
Not once.
No, never. He never preaches.
I don't think he will in the entire series if we're heading down the certain path we're going down.
Yeah. So you can
we'll talk about that later.
So you can proclaim and preach a false gospel of something else, but what you're doing is technically if preaching the good news of who Christ is putting the good news on you, what is preaching the bad news, right? You know, almost like speaking a curse on someone if you're going to be proclaiming something that's a false or something that's against God's word or against his teachings. So that being sort of important. Now, as far as...
back to the other question.
Who's unfit for holding office? I think the thing is there are very clear sort of descriptions of elders and people, you know, someone that's not, you know, known as just like wheels off horrible person in the community kind of, you know, that they're not a person in bad standing and all these other things. However, where you have to be sort of take the whole of scripture with this is kind of say the effectiveness or the worth of the preacher does not affect the word of God being preached. So here's what I mean.
Yeah.
If you found out that somehow the guy that baptized you and raised you and in the church as your pastor and he served you the Lord's Supper all mm-hmm. these times, mm-hmm. you found out he was actually doing something horrible.
Right.
And they defrock him and they come in and they say, you know, this guy has been doing all this bad stuff and we took him out of his office and now you're in a position of going,
do I have to get rebaptized?
Yeah, my baptism and all this. No, because this guy's ability to walk the walk is not the same as God's ability to declare you righteous and his word to be efficacious.
Right.
God has to use sinners to preach his word or else there'd nobody be to preach it. Right. There just wouldn't be anybody around to preach it. So he has to use sinners to proclaim the good news. And the sinners who proclaim the good news need the good news as much as anyone that's hearing
and
it.
And they should be proclaiming that too.
And this will be the last thing we talk about on Jedi Mind Tricks because
we can go theological
on you for a long time. There was a time period in the beginning of my work in ministry where each week I was, I was approaching it the wrong way and I was thinking to myself, I am being used to declare absolution, you know, on people each week, and they're hearing absolution for them, right?
Right.
You know, and I felt like I wasn't ever out there
receiving it
from a pastor. I wasn't hearing it from a pastor.
Yeah.
The idea that it was, you know, sort of coming from me is absurd, first of all.
Right.
Right. The absolution is from Christ through the mouth of the proclaimer. But then I realized Jesus himself is telling me, I forgive your sins every week in the Lord's Supper. I'm actually eating and drinking forgiveness. I'm actually eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus Christ every week in the Lord's Supper. And so the idea that somehow I wasn't hearing it was just I felt stupid for a while because I can't believe I actually tricked myself into thinking I needed to hear it. I needed to hear
the wrong kind of Jedi
right,
mind trick.
Yeah, yeah, wrong. Yeah, it was. It was a Sith mind Sith trick. Is what it was. So you know. So it he comes. His forgiveness comes to us, not just in the word of absolution from the preacher's mouth, but in our baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And those beautiful gifts are proclaiming to us. They are delivering to us Christ and his story and his works and his present and his future. So that is Jedi Mind Tricks for this week. And we're going to roll right into This Week in Geek. So hit it.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This Week in Geek.
Yeah.
We did something geeky yet again. We got together.
Super geeky.
Yeah, and we watched the latest AMC show, Preacher. And we already talked about it a little bit in Jedi Mind Tricks, and it brought up some amazing questions. But you're probably wondering, well, what in the world is this show about? And, okay, let me see if I can summarize it. Some weird thing from outer space or the heavens crashes into our world. It turns out it's the word of God as a weird alien space being something. It doesn't quite make sense yet. It starts crashing into different pastors and cult leaders and whatnot around the world, but they explode whenever it reaches them. And it eventually finds a host in a pastor who is wrestling with his faith or lack of faith. I'm not sure if he has any at this point. And apparently the Word of God likes him as a host. I'm not quite sure. Backdrop, some small town in Texas. That's where he's a preacher. A lot of crazy small town Texas things going on. We've got an abusive father. We've got a vampire that crashed out of the sky from an airplane. He was being hunted by vampire killers.
Well, when you say it like that.
Your typical small town Texas stuff. We've got some type of hero assassin
hit woman.
Yeah. We got moral relativism all over the place, and it all comes crashing down in a small town in Texas, much like in season 2 of The Leftovers, but that's another conversation.
Interesting.
Man, odd show, weird show. It plays out like a graphic novel, a comic book, because it's based on one.
That's right.
And I believe, Bill, you read some of the graphic novel. Tell us about that.
I have read at least a handful of the graphic novels.
Okay.
And this was, you'll have to forgive me, anyone who's a big fan of the graphic novel, because it's been about 3 or 4 years since I read the graphic novel.
And you kind of gave up on it at one point because...
Well, I set it down. Well, here's what I did love about it, and what really attracted me to it in the first place was all the things you just kind of bagged on, except the idea that it was a...
Oh, no, I love it. I love those things.
No, I know. It's one of those... By the way, what I would say is Premises was saying...
This isn't for kids.
Do
I'm
not,
not even
watch
sure
this
if it's
show
for
if,
us
you're
yet.
Not, if you're not at least 30 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of... It's like super...
It was a great graphic
violence
show to watch to get some jumping off points to talk about some great theology.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it's all going to play out. I do want to go on for a few more episodes, but it's questionable in content at times.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Oh, I can't believe some of it's on TV. So the graphic novel itself, the premise of the graphic novel, from what I remember, is that there is some sort of powerful being that is not good and not bad, but he's kind of like an all-powerful. He's not really God.
Okay.
In the graphic novel.
Yeah.
But all the angels are scared of him, and he's called in the graphic novel the Word of God, which is blasphemous to the Christian because Christ is the Word of God.
Right.
Right. So, but this being gets loose from heaven and goes down to earth like what happened in the show, except they didn't explain this really in the show.
No.
And in the show, from what I remember, he falls right on the preacher from the very beginning.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it ends up killing everybody in his church.
Oh, in the graphic novel.
In the graphic
okay.
novel.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. And then so the sheriff comes in mm-hmm. that's in the show mm-hmm. with his son that's tried to commit suicide mm-hmm. before in the show. And the angels who find out that this being has gotten loose and gone down and
they're hunting him down.
They're after him. So they enlist this guy that's kind of the angel of death, and he's this old west sort of undead cowboy with like awesome six shooters that just it's a graphic novel comic book deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a vampire punk from Ireland, you know, who can't die.
I think that might be my favorite character
die.
In the
yeah,
show so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, well, he's really cool in the novel. And then there is the girl that's like sort of a
hit
awesome
moment.
With guns.
Yeah.
You know, she like knows her thing. But anyway, so they haven't introduced that Angel of Death character, which I feel like will be really gypped if he's not, he didn't
yeah.
come into it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. In the graphic novel, they go like the Angel of Death is on the hunt for the preacher, and the preacher's with the vampire and the girl, and they're mm-hmm. running from him. And
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the premise that I remember from the graphic novels. And that's how the story takes place. So this guy's always after him. He's the ultimate bad guy.
Okay.
And then so
Wait,
the
Angel
preacher,
of Death is the
so
ultimate
the,
bad
so
guy.
The,
okay.
Yeah, well, so the entity that's referred to as the Word of God that possesses the preacher,
uh-huh.
it gives him the superpower that whatever he tells people to do, they uh-huh. do it. And they do it literally, right?
Yeah, which we found out at
which
the end
found
of this
out
episode.
At the end of this episode, which is really gory.
Yeah.
But so, as far as geeking out on the TV show, what did you think?
I loved the style. I was giggling.
Stylized. It's great.
Fight scenes were good.
Oh, my gosh.
The real cool transition at the beginning where it was like an old school, real
Flash
like
Gordon type
Flash
movie.
Gordon kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the transitions when they jump to a new scene. All that's great. I love
yeah.
it. Love the style.
Yeah.
Love everything.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Dogma, the Kevin Smith movie.
Okay.
Which also, I loved the style. I
right.
loved the humor. I loved the questions it posed. I love the questions they both pose.
Yeah.
I don't love the answers.
Right.
Or the,
yeah.
the
they don't give any answers.
No.
Yeah.
In Dogma, I definitely
yeah.
didn't like the
kind
answers
of
in the end.
Kind
but.
Of the reason that I quit reading the graphic novels was kind of what you just alluded to there, and it will be what makes me lose interest in this show is if there's never introduced any sort of character that has a right view of what Christianity really is. Because see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
They're toying with what the Christian faith is.
Oh, they're
in
taking
the show.
The symbolism. They're taking,
and
I'm
okay with them doing that.
Yeah.
But I want them to introduce someone who has a right understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I know they're not going to do that, you know? So, or at least a character who can say, you know, this isn't right. Like be a moral compass in the sense of, not even necessarily morality, but just truth.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility of that mm-hmm. with the church secretary.
Yeah,
I believe
yeah, okay.
in the show it kind of alludes that she's not going to have any superpowers, but she seems like a genuinely
sorts, maybe.
Really
yeah.
wants the church to be what the church is supposed to be
yeah.
and all these things. So there's a glimmer of hope there, but I have a feeling I'm going to be highly disappointed. And it will just be, in my opinion, another cliche treatment of religion.
Yeah.
If it goes that direction.
Yeah.
However, what would make it dynamic and interesting would be to have that piece where there is actually an actual representation of the faith in the show. Like, I feel like sometimes there isn't Leftovers.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there is.
And that's when I originally gave up on season one of Leftovers. It was before they started doing some of that.
Yeah.
But then when I got back into it and saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of redeemed the show a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So
fascinating show. It's worth, if you can handle all the gore, you can handle sort of the blasphemy, and we're basically discouraging everybody from watching it.
If you're immature at all,
yeah,
spiritually, even just immature in general, it might not be the right show.
Well, here's the thing about the show. It's not going to give you any good theology.
No,
right? It's going to give you a bunch of bad theology.
Yeah.
So I can't really endorse the show. I think it was entertaining, but I think it will go the same way that I went with the graphic novels, which is just kind of, that's not that great. You know? But interesting topic.
Yeah.
And man, that's another week of this show with this crazy God Geeks thing that keeps people keep actually listening to
us. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And what's funny is this number of people grows and grows and grows and grows, and people
every week
going online.
Yeah.
And they're giving us reviews, and they're
sending
doing,
us money. No, wait, they're not doing that.
No, they're not sending us money, but they are giving us reviews, and somebody's going to, I think we're going to get 20.
I think so.
I think we're going to get 20, and then we're going to have to like have one of these geeks on the
show,
right? So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yay.
I'm looking forward to that.
We have to buy another mic.
Yeah, man. So another week of the God Geeks podcast. We love you guys. Keep listening and tell a friend. See you next week.